Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is Amos Medford, and I am excited today to bring episode number 5 of the Turkey series on the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're always glad to talk hunting. That's what we're thinking about. That's what we're wanting to be doing. So as we're gearing up for spring, we're talking turkey, and we're enjoying it. It's been a great series so far, and everybody seems to be enjoying the guests that we've had on, and today is going to be no different. We're excited to be joined by none other than Philip Culpepper Jr. of the Hunt Club, Realtree. You know him, you love him, you've seen his stuff, so we're excited to have Philip on today and just talk turkey hunting. Philip is a great guy. Really appreciate him taking some time out of his busy schedule and jumping on the podcast just to talk turkey hunting with us. So make sure you give this one a good full listen and enjoy. We appreciate the support. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate everybody hanging in with us. Let's enjoy the conversation with Philip Culpepper. I just want to take a second and mention that Philip and I had some technical difficulties in this episode, and that caused it to be, one, cut a little bit short, and two, just to have a couple spots where it's a little bit fuzzy and echoey. But man, I really enjoyed talking to Philip, and I really appreciate him hanging in there through a few of those difficulties as he was on the road traveling back from the NWTF convention. So huge thanks to Philip, and huge thanks to y'all for putting up with a little bit of audio glitches. So just thanks so much, and enjoy this one. It's a good one.
I apologize for my voice. I'm still trying to get my voice back from NWTF.
Yes, sir. No problem. That was a pretty good time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. We had a great show. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping to make it. I was talking to Mark Hatfield the other day with NWTF, and he was like, man, if you're going to come, next year is 50 years, so that'd be a big one.
Oh, yeah. That's the first time I've ever been and actually had like we had a booth, and so it was pretty cool. I didn't get to walk around a ton, but it was a good crowd.
That's awesome. Definitely good to see a big crowd up there, you know, just following along on social. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, but it was good. It was a lot of folks, so it was good to see everybody finally.
Well, I'm hoping we can make it through without too many technical difficulties, you know, with a podcast. You know, sometimes it happens, but hopefully we'll have smooth sailing as we go along, and phones will keep signal and all that good stuff, and we'll kind of jump in, man.
Yep, absolutely, man. I'll, like I said, if any glitches or hiccups, just let me know, and I can, like I said, I can pull off if I need to, so just tell me how it sounds.
Yes, sir. Will do. If we run into anything, I'll you know, shoot you a text or something if the audio cuts or anything like that. But okay.
Are you out of Florida?
Yes, sir. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. All right. Well, I got some family down there. I saw your 904 number. I was like, dang. I'd recognize it. So.
Yes, sir. Yep. I hunt mostly, you know, just south of Jacksonville, but you know, there's some good areas, you know, all around here for sure.
Yep, I'm taking my little niece this year down there on Callahan. So,
okay, yep, I know some people from Callahan for sure. That's awesome. Well, man, just start off. We'll just jump in. You know, how did you get into turkey hunting or hunting in general? You know, wherever you want to, you know, jump into the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, before I can even remember, I remember when my dad telling me stories when I was 5 years old, he'd take me and just when he would go and I'd pitch a fit if I couldn't go with him. And, you know, and then I killed my first turkey when I was 8. And man, really since then, it was an addiction to me. And then the more, not only just a turkey coming in strutting and gobbling was an addiction, but then the more I got into trying to learn how to call and calling my own turkey, it just that communication level of and playing the game with them is just what I fell in love with. And I turkey when I was 8, and then I think when I was 11 or 12 was when I was trying to call in my first turkey and then to kill him myself. And then when I was 15 is when I found my first long beard and killed him. And then, you know, after that, it was just, you know, I knew then I was going to have issues in life with turkeys because it was just a complete obsession.
Yeah. You know, I've only killed two deer. I'm a relatively new hunter, but I can already tell there's something different with turkey hunting. You know, there's something different with the calling and the interaction and all that. It's a totally different ball game than any other hunting I've ever, you know, been involved in.
Oh, there's no doubt, man. And like I said, it's sometimes it's feast or famine, but you know, you go on a dry run and go for, you think you couldn't do anything to get one killed, but then you go on a hot streak and may, you know, kill one every time you go out there for a while. But it's, you know, knowing that it's that possibility and just the communication side of it and convincing the long bear that you're a hen and you've tricked him in his own world, to me, it's just the you know, a lot like elk hunting, obviously without the wind, but it's just,
right.
It's just something to be said about trying to fool something in their own game.
Yes, sir. No doubt about it. And I know over the years, you know, you've killed a whole lot of turkeys in a whole lot of places and, you know, filmed probably a lot more than that. Man, of all those years, are there any stories or anything, you know, anything that stands out to you, a particular time y'all went out that maybe you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very, very blessed to be able to, you know, chase a lot of turkeys and obviously growing up, you know, pretty much working at Realtree since I was 16, you know, I've had the, you know, a lot of opportunities and one hunt though that probably is still my all time favorite hunt was, we were in Hertzberg, Alabama. It was me and Michael Waddell and, a buddy of ours, Chuck Sumner. And I was videoing them and we killed a turkey. And another turkey was gobbling, and we killed the one, and then Michael got behind the gun, and that's the turkey we had, and it's probably one of the most famous hunts on road trips we had. He came to about 2.5 steps, and
wow.
It was him, Michael, and turkey were in one frame for the whole time, him coming slow strutting all the way down through the pines, and to me, that's probably still the most memorable hunt for me.
Yeah, that's too cool, and that just made me think of, you know, I like being in the woods when I'm hunting. You know, do you have a preference on like whether you're in something thick or being on the edge of a field, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, I love, you know, growing up in Georgia and in the South, I love just getting a turkey in the hardwood, like a hardwood bottom or on a hardwood ridge, gobbling and coming in. That to me, just the, you know, the echo and the. Just coming in through some pretty hardwoods, you know, hearing them in the leaves, that's probably, if I had to hand pick a spot to have a turkey work, that'd be where they at.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take them anyway, but that's pretty cool.
Exactly, yeah, there's, I mean, I'm not against them strutting down a paved driveway either, so it don't matter wherever you can get on one, it'll work for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned a minute ago that I'm a relatively new hunter, so I always like to ask, you know, if you have any advice for a new hunter, you know, specific to hunting turkeys. I know there's probably a million directions you could go, whether it's talking about calling or setting up or, you know, gun or, you know, anything really. But what kind of advice, whether it's a mindset or a piece of gear or something else, would you give to somebody kind of getting into it?
Yeah, I mean, once you get your basics as far as, you know, just – especially calling, you know, just learning the rhythm of a hen and just the basic yelp down, you know,
mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I think is, and I still try to this day is every time you go in the woods, come back more knowledgeable than when you went in, whether you kill a turkey or not, pay attention to what they let them teach you, you know, their mannerisms, you know, how they move, what they do and try to figure out and pay attention to why they're doing what they're doing. And, you know, especially being a new turkey hunter, I think I've always looked at, even gone around up saying, man, am I doing something wrong, or turkeys here, they not here, is paying attention to turkey sign, to where learning how to read, whether it's scratchings, you know, turkey dropping, strut marks, you know, to where, because at the end of the day, if you're not in turkeys, you're not going to be successful at turkey hunting. So you got to be where they are. And, you know, and if that's covering ground, to where you finally start getting into turkey sign, to where you know the turkeys are there, then you got something you can play the game with.
Right. No, that makes sense. If you're looking, do you get more excited? Like if you see, you know, somewhere like where they've been strutting or something like that, as opposed to, you know, just droppings of tracks, or if they're there, they're there.
Right. Well, and obviously you can read it, you know, if it's just no different than like deer sign, if it's fresh, you know, then to where you know it's fresh, if it's since it rained, or you know, and again, you can read it on the level of, if turkeys aren't gobbling, you're seeing a lot of strut marks, and turkey's probably hemmed up, and he's somewhere close. If it's fresh sign, to where, you know, you do have to sometimes change your approach, to where you might have to gear it down a little bit and then just set up and play out, versus more of a run and gun approach. But yeah, if there's fresh turkey sign there, then you know, there's a good chance they're not too far away. So that always would excite me.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a situation last year where I had a couple gobblers across, kind of like two fields over. They were actually off the property I was on. And they had like, I think it was like six hens with them. Have you ever called one away from a real hen? Or is that like just...
I mean, yeah, there's... You know, I've always had better luck is getting the hens interested, and they bring them in. But there's times I feel like, you know, I have, if you kind of spark their interest a little bit, to where they think there's another hen, they can. I've had better luck in not being aggressive in those situations, to where, especially if you got a turkey that's strutting, if you can just do some light yelping or clucks and purrs, to where you're kind of in the game. With a lot of times they'll make. Maybe make a loop to try to pick another hen up, thinking there's another hen over there. But obviously the odds are very slim. They're just going to drop down and leave their hands and come to you. You know, unless you're, you know, doing the decoy game or something with them. But yes, I have had them, you know, perk their interest enough for them to try to make that loop to pick an extra hen up. But you know, a lot of times you're better off of not trying to get the interest of that hen and let her bring him in.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. I don't know that I had the calling skill anyway, you know, on that day, but I was just curious to see what you thought about, you know, something like that. But that's helpful.
And like I said, even calling, you know, if it's just soft yelps and scratching in the leaves, just for them to let him know that there's another hen over there feeding. And like I said, even sometimes those soft little subtle, like just like a hen's pecking around feeding, it does more than aggressive calling, because you know it's almost like she's over there not even paying attention, not worried about him. And a lot of times I think that drives them crazier more than having a hen that's just dying to get him, you know.
Right. Yeah, kind of a little bit of more is less kind of deal.
Exactly.
Or less is more, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's cool. You know, we're kind of talking about turkeys and how they act. I was gonna ask you, you know, I think I left goulds out when I sent you the list, but I was going to ask you what subspecies is your favorite to actually hunt. You know, I've only ever hunted Osceolas, so I don't really know, other than what I've heard on, you know, YouTube or podcasts or whatever. You know, is there one that you prefer?
Well, I mean, I love to hunt them all, but it's you know, just being from the South, growing up hunting in Georgia and Alabama mostly, Easterns are probably my favorite, just the Southern Eastern, just because they seem like the ones in the South always have that sixth sense. But it's, I don't know if it's because it's that much more rewarding, and the fact that I grew up, you know, down here, that's what I grew up on, and pretty much what taught me how to turkey hunt. So, especially when you hit that few day window where they're really working and doing, acting like they're supposed to act, you know, that would be my favorite ones. But that being said, I love to diversify, and I love, you know, in in the country in Wyoming out there, you know, hunting Marions. And I love going down south early to hunt Osceolas. So I like hunting them all when they're right. It's just whichever one will gobble and act right, I'm all in for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've been out enough times to know that I've been out when they were acting right and I've been out when they weren't. And it makes all the difference in the world if you catch them.
Right. Oh, exactly. Like, and that's the thing about turkeys is you just don't ever know. They're, you know, they may go for 2 weeks kicking your teeth in, and then you have a 7-day run where you kill one every day you go out, or you're in the game every day, to where it's they literally are such a bipolar type animal. One minute they're acting one way, and the next they're acting a completely different way. That's the good thing about it. That makes it easier when you're getting beat up so bad as well. Well, any second, you know, they're trigger can flip.
Right. Yeah, it could change real quick. Well, we talked, or you were talking just a minute ago about the, you know, probably the most memorable hunt you've ever had was with Michael Waddell. And I was going to ask you, you know, being around a lot of great turkey hunters, I was going to kind of ask you if you could give me like a Mount Rushmore of turkey hunters. I know there's some old timers and, you know, guys probably y'all's age and stuff, you know. Is there some turkey hunters that stand out, whether they're guys who've written books or, you know, paved the trail for some of the calls or, you know, anything like that? Anybody that stands out to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've always said my top three most influential people that just made impressions on me growing up turkey hunting would be my dad, Michael Waddell, and Eddie Salter. So where those are the three. You know, Eddie was I can remember when I was little watching VHS tapes my dad had of Eddie and back even going, you know, further back, Ben Lee. I mean, those were the type of, you know, Dick Kirby. I can remember years before I was ever even started a real tree watching videos of him hunting over in Alabama with, you know, on the All-Star Spring videos, you know, and Paul Butsky, you know, those are probably my childhood. And that's a little bit of there's a little bit of a generation gap on some of those people, but growing up, those I idolized and still do today, and tried to, every time I'm around them, try to, you know, between Eddie Salter, Michael, you know, Paul Buskey.
We were just talking about some of the old timers that kind of paved the way, and you were saying something about you and Tyler Jordan kind of cut out.
Yeah, I remember going to filming. When Walter Parrott went with us, and he booked Tyler, and I can just remember going and filming him, being able to just sit back and almost take notes. You know, it was just cool, and it was just a blessing back in those days. To, you know, and even the days, and I filmed Eddie for about 10 days in a row on a competition we did. No, I just remember thinking, man, I never would have thought in a million years I'd be able to just action and just try to take notes from him and learn. You know, and it was very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool to be able to, you know, spend some time with guys like that. They're legends, you know. And, you know, I love what they put out on social media, you know, like Eddie. You know, I like following along with him. He's hilarious. And it's cool, you know.
Oh, he's true.
I've never met the guy, but you kind of get a sense for the personality and, you know, a lot of knowledge just kind of bleeds through, you know. He knows so much about killing turkeys.
Oh, no doubt. He's a machine when it comes to, like I said, he's you know, on a pedestal to me as being just absolutely one of the best. And he's, you know, he's a person. So, I mean, that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, that makes it even better. And that's been one of the cool things about the podcast. You know, I've reached out to guys, you know, like you and others, you know, and it's like a couple Saturday afternoons ago, I was watching you on TV and now I'm on the phone with you. To me, it's like, man, this is crazy. But so many of the guys I've gotten to talk to are so nice and so accommodating and, you know, hang with me through a technical difficulty or two, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, man. I appreciate you reaching out. Like I said, you can talk turkey and you know, talk with folks who share the same passions. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we kind of, you know, mentioned it earlier, but – well, we've mentioned it several times now. There's something different about turkey hunting. You know, it just kind of has a different deal, you know, the interaction with the animal and everything. But there's kind of a bond between turkey hunters too. Do you see that? It's like almost even more of a brotherhood than almost anything else.
Great. You know, like back what we talked about earlier, Carl, you know, I'm heading home from the NWTF show now, and you know, you can probably tell just by listening to me, my voice is about gone, but just being able to talk to folks all weekend and just telling hunting stories and you can just sense the enthusiasm. People are excited. Turkey season's right here around the corner, and it's almost like a separate bond in a separate club. You know, the people who love to do it are rooting for each other, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely think that's awesome. And man, well, I know we've kind of fought through a couple little breaks. Man, can you give everybody an idea of where to find what you've got coming this spring? I know you'll be doing quite a bit of turkey hunting, so you know, best place for folks to follow along with you.
Anybody there?
Yes, sir. I'm back. We're back.
I don't know what happened. It was still my recording was still going. I don't know. It just went out. I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, mine was still running too, but I was asking if you could hear me, and obviously you could not. So I decided to. I was just going to go ahead and, you know, kind of get a wrap up and just give everybody an idea where to find all the turkey hunting that you're going to be doing this spring and whatever else you have coming up, man.
Yeah, well, again, I appreciate you on, and it's good to talk turkey, but I'll actually leave. We leave next Thursday for South Florida, and we'll be doing Spring Thunder episodes and Hunt Club episodes down there. So it'll be on YouTube. The Hunt Club YouTube channel and Spring Thunder YouTube channel, and obviously on Roundtree's 365 app, where all our stuff is live there too. So it'll be we'll have it up fairly quickly within a few days of us shooting content, and I'm looking forward to the spring. We got a long spring ahead of us, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be locked in to see what happens, and of course I'll be out seeing what I can do as well. So, man, I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yes, sir, buddy. No problem. Anytime. I'd love to chat, and I'll be away soon for that youth season out there. Take my little cousin Hazley. So, looking forward to it.
Very cool, man.
Thanks so much for listening to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. Huge thank you to Philip Culpepper for joining us today. Appreciate him taking the time. I really enjoyed the conversation. It's been good kind of going back and forth, getting to know him just a little bit, just messaging back and forth and talking today. So it's very much appreciated. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting. I know we've had some folks head over to the store Frontier and check out our t-shirts, and then had some folks message me grabbing a few hats that we had made. They are sold out, but if you want one, just shoot me a message. We'll see what we can do. And once again, want to thank everybody for supporting, for listening, following along on Instagram. That's the best way to help us, is to follow there, as well as subscribing and leaving a review wherever you listen to your podcast. So we appreciate it. Hope y'all have a good one. And thanks so much for listening. And as always, let's honor God, work hard, and keep hunting.